Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, I can't get over it. So low, I can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Hello again and welcome to this holy half hour here on 3TFM with me, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church. Did you know that 2010 is the 450th anniversary of the Scottish Reformation? To celebrate this landmark, we're dedicating this whole programme to that. Reformation is not just an event long ago. It wasn't even an event then. It's actually a process, a never-ending process. One of the mottos of the Reformation was and is Semper Reformanda, always reforming. It really means change. Change is a fact of life. Everything changes. Some folk love change, new things, new is good. Other folk hate change. Why can't things just stay the same? Often there's a love-hate mixture of feelings towards change. Think how we change throughout our lives. When I was one, I was a baby. At 10, a schoolboy. At 20, a student. At 30, a minister. At 40, I was married. At 50, I was a radio presenter. Our skin sheds every 7 years. Leaves come and go with the seasons. Fashions change. People's interests and behaviours and characters change. When people are bad and they're sorry and they change their behaviour, then we say they are reformed characters. Think of clay on a potter's wheel. It's formed into a ball or made flat as a pancake or into the shape of a jug. The potter, if not satisfied, can start again by reforming the clay. In Jeremiah chapter 18, God tells his prophet Jeremiah, "I can do that with people too."
They've seen the wars, the hurt, the hunger. How will they choose when they are grown? What do you tell forever's children when it's their turn to hurt and heal? Whatever spins a grim tornado can also turn potter's wheel. Take a little clay, put it on a wheel, get a little hint how God must feel. Give a little turn, listen to it spin, make it in the shape you want it in. Tell with your life a bloody story, teach to their dreams not burning. It's not in bombs where lies the glory, but in what's shattered on the field. The potter's wheel takes love and caring, skill and patience, fast and slow. The works it makes are easily broken once they survive the potter's throw. Little clay, put it on the wheel, get a little hint how God must feel. Give a little turn, listen to it spin, make it in the shape you want it in. Someday some children will be digging in some long forgotten ground, and they'll find our civilization, or what's left of it to be found. They'll find the weapons of destruction, but buried deeper in the hole. They'll find a message in a box, in the sand, the potter's bowl. Take a little lathe, put it on a wheel, get a little hint how God must feel.
So we're going to look at six things about the Reformation around the year 1560. That's 450 years ago now. This Reformation that has been continuing since then and was happening long before then too. If I give you a wee potted version of church history. Jesus formed a little band of disciples, a small minority in a big bad world. They were persecuted by Nero, the Roman emperor. They were fed to the lions, they were covered in tar and set alight as street lights. Then suddenly the Emperor Constantine was converted to Christianity. Overnight, Christianity, instead of being a little group that was persecuted, became the official state religion. Happy days. Well, not quite. In a perverse world, Christianity has always flourished under persecution and always floundered when it's been in power. Constantine named Constantinople after himself. Constantinople became a major Christian centre. Rome was also a major Christian centre, so guess what happens next? They fall out with each other. About the year 1000, there was the Eastern Orthodox Church in the east and the Roman Catholic Church in the west. The Western Church was ruled by bishops of Rome, called popes. Between the year 1000 and about 1500, popes became like earthly kings, with earthly kingdoms, with wealth and power and positions. They ended up being dictators, and there was corruption. The church, in other words, lost the plot. The church was nothing like the Jesus of Nazareth, who came to a stable, washed people's feet, and gave his life on a cross. So the reformers tried to reform the church from within, but then they got martyred. The protesters, or the Protestants, couldn't get anywhere from within, and then people like Martin Luther, a priest, a lecturer to priests, was chased for his life. Found himself on the run, sleeping in different houses every night for years. He was put on trial. John Knox in Scotland, at St Andrews, was captured, made a slave. He was sent to rowing ships as a galley slave. The Reformation was a movement, however, that couldn't be stopped. An irresistible movement of God's Holy Spirit. All across Europe, country after country, individual after individual, congregation after congregation, made changes in their lives. As Shakespeare says, there's a tide in the affairs of men, and the tide had come. You've got to surf the tide when it comes. So the Reformation transformed the church and got it back on the rails. Here's Catherine Jenkins singing, "Dear Lord and Father of Mankind, forgive our foolish ways. Give us a Reformation too." Another feature of the Reformation was the rediscovery of the Bible, that the Bible is for everyone. We might take that for granted, but that was a revolution. In 1560, only the priest had a Bible, and it was in Latin, and most of the people couldn't read anyway. So people came to church on Sunday to hear the priest tell them what he'd been reading. Centuries earlier, Jerome had caused an outrage by translating the Bible into Latin. People felt that God gave the Old Testament in Hebrew and the New Testament in Greek, and these were the two holy languages. Any attempt to translate them would just distort the meaning. But having established the Latin Bible, things had got stuck again, with the priests keeping it to themselves. John Knox came up with the scandalous revolutionary demand that there should be a school in every parish of Scotland, so that every boy and girl should learn to read and write, so they could read the Bible, and they should be able to read their own Bibles in their own languages. Today, we celebrate schools in every parish. Every boy and girl and adult can learn to read. Bibles are easily available. They're quite cheap in our country compared to other countries. John Knox would be smiling from heaven, but then he wouldn't be quite so happy when he discovers that the Bibles in the houses are not being opened. Since the Reformation, Protestants, Reformed people, Presbyterian people have maybe been neglecting their Bibles a bit. And on the other hand, Roman Catholics, since Vatican II in the 1960s, have been rediscovering the Bible with a freshness. Muslims and Mormons put us to shame by their passion for their scriptures. Here's Ian White singing about the Bible being the basis of our faith.
You need to learn about the Lord.
We're celebrating the 450th anniversary of the Reformation. Reformers like Luther, Calvin and Knox all pushed the idea of the priesthood of all believers, not just a one-man show ministry of ministers and priests. Every single person should take personal responsibility for the upbuilding of themselves, their families, their congregations, their parishes, their country and their world, the body of Christ, the kingdom of God on earth, because we each have talents to contribute to the common kitty. We've each got time, money, enthusiasm, leadership skills. We should each pray and pray together, be active and grow in faith and counsel and help and support each other. It's a wonderful vision. Did you know that Sunday schools were originally set up not for Christian kids, but for the non-Christian kids? They assumed that the parents would teach their children in their own homes, but it was for children who didn't have parents who would teach them the faith. So here's a song about us being a brother and sister to each other, as God ministers in and through us to each other. Brother and sister from the Northumbria community.
Brother, sister, let me serve you. Let me be as Christ to you. Pray that I may have the grace to let you be my servant too. We are pilgrims on a journey. We're companions on the road. We are here to help each other walk the mile and bear the load. I will hold the Christ light for you in the night time of your fear. I will hold my hand out to you, speak a peace you through.
One of the mottos of the Reformation was Semper Reformanda. That's Latin for always reforming. We shouldn't describe it as the Reformation of long ago only. It's really a continuous process of reforming. That's how life is, dynamic. It's not static. It's an obvious fact of life, but we often deny facts of life. We deny the fact of death, suffering, aging, and change and reformation. You can run, but you can't hide, because all the basic facts catch us up sooner or later. And they don't have to be bogeymen to be feared. If we embrace them, they can be very positive. Death can be the gateway to paradise. Suffering can be the refinement of gold in our character. Aging can be the acquiring of experience and wisdom. Change and reform can be continuous and never-ending improvement and enrichment. Reformation's not easy, but then the best things in life are not easy. And what's the alternative? A static sameness, a dead end, going nowhere, with no growth, no process, no life? So let's celebrate the Reformation in the 16th century, the 17th, the 18th, the 19th, the 20th, and the 21st centuries. Let's continue to keep reforming, as our next hymn says. It's asking God to put his love into us and to develop that love within us that we might ever be growing and improving.
Now we rise.
Down through the centuries, Christians have always wrestled with a legalistic kind of religion and a liberated free religion. And the Reformation got us back on the rails in those terms as well. The Pharisees were good people, but they were so bogged down in legalism, do's and don'ts. They were good people, but they got up your nose about it sometimes. Jesus came along pronouncing love, freedom, enjoy life. St. Paul had the problem with the Judaizers. Martin Luther had the problem with the church of his day. He started off as a celibate monk. He ended up married to a nun with six kids. But the biggest change in his life was from a religion of legalism, rules and regulations, do's and don'ts, supposed to be's, I beans, the yacht club, you ought to do this, you ought to do that, to a liberated Christianity where you can smile. When you're like Lazarus, having just been raised from the dead, or Zacchaeus, when you've just been freed from your greed, or like Mary Magdalene, smiling because she's met the risen Jesus. That's a continuing Reformation challenge we all need as well. Here's Susan Boyle singing about it in Amazing Grace. The Reformation got the church back on the rails. It rediscovered the Bible is for everyone. They promoted the priesthood of all believers. It was to be a continuous Reformation, and it was grace is more important than law. And the last thing was, they rediscovered the centre of our faith is Jesus. It's easy to lose sight of Jesus. The church became obsessed with money, power, status, itself, its structure, its busyness, its pomp and ceremony, its fancy buildings, its own faith, its own tradition, relics, indulgences, all sorts of things. And they lost sight of Jesus, and they were like the disciples in the boat who lost sight of Jesus and were fearing they would drown. Even when people did the right thing, the Psalms did it for the wrong motive. They would donate money for a monastery to buy their way into heaven. Have you ever tried to bribe God with a promise? If I get out of this hospital bed, I promise to attend all the jumble sales in the church. They lost the plot with God as if he could be bribed. The reformers helped to rediscover the core of our faith, Jesus loves me. Jesus is the way. So let's finish tonight with our great celebration of this continuing Reformation by focusing on Jesus in the profound song, Meekness and Majesty. Long live the Reformation!